Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People, look alive. It's showtime.
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Big week coming up, as we know, and we will have you dialed in all week long here on The Fan. We've got this show, the Bill Michaels show, the Wendy's Big Show, Bill Michaels Huddle coming up Thursday night, Lodge Kohler Kickoff coming up on Friday night. The pregame show will be on Sunday. I'll be there with Horvat. We'll have the post-game show. We'll have the post-post-game show. We're breaking this thing down from all angles. Two good ones. I mean, Kansas City, Tennessee is going to be a good one, too. And we'll talk to Michael Lombardi about that one as well here in a moment. But Packers Niners, obviously, is what we are caring about, as the Green Bay Packers are headed back to San Francisco, losing 37-8 the last time they were there on the 24th of November. They go back here this weekend with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. As mentioned, on the line, radio.com sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi joining the program. You can hear him on the podcast, The GM Shuffle, which is available on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. All insider calls brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Michael Lombardi back on the show. Michael, appreciate it. How have you been?
Hey, Mike.
I'm great, too. Thank you. I appreciate it. No, it's all good. Life is good.
We're looking forward to this game against the Niners, although the Packers, you know, they played well against Seattle. There were a couple of holes that Russell Wilson was able to find in that defense. But the Packers got to even take it to another level if they're going to beat the Niners this coming Sunday night.
Yeah, I think there's a formula they've got to get through, and it starts with tiring the 49ers defensive line out. You've got to be able to slow down their pass rush, and I think what we saw in the Seattle game for Green Bay is when Green Bay got tired on defense, Seattle became really effective offensively. And early in the game, when they were fresh, it was good. Well, the reverse has got to happen this week. I mean, the Packers have to kind of speed up the game but slow it down so that the defensive front for the 49ers isn't fresh and they're able to stay ahead of the count but also protect the quarterback, because these four guys that they rush are hard to block one-on-one.
Yeah, this Packers offensive line, as we talk with Michael Lombardi here, is going to be in for a big-time challenge. Last week, they lost Brian Bulaga to a flu bug. He should be able to go again. Jared Valdir stepping in pretty nicely. David Bakhtiari getting a lot of the honors. Really, the only Packer on this team getting any of these All-Pro honors. They've got guys that have been mainstays for a few years. Elgton Jenkins, the rookie guard, starting most of the season. They gave up a handful of sacks last time they played the Niners. Is this offensive line for Green Bay good enough to stop what's coming at them on Sunday?
Well, I think the problem is going to be inside Jenkins and Billy Turner. Those two guys have to play the best football game of the season, because the two inside rushers for San Francisco, Armstead and Buckner, are really a problem. And they're long, they're athletic, they can move. And the way to get the quarterback sometimes isn't around the corner. Rodgers is great at stepping up and moving in the pocket, but when there's nowhere to move up into the pocket, that becomes a problem. And so they've got to keep this pocket firm. They've got to do a good job with their inside players, and this is the strength of the 49ers team.
Yeah, they had 14 pressures on Kirk Cousins this past Saturday with that defensive front that the Niners have. And the Packers just don't have enough weapons if they're forced into second and third and long. They got Devontae, but other than that, yeah, the Packers getting second and third and long, I don't like their chances against the Niners defense.
No, I don't either. And that's why, you know, Aaron, they've got to run the football and they've got to be able to stay ahead. They've got to find ways to to they can't do what Minnesota did, which is go out there and think they can run the ball, because Minnesota run, third and 10, can't make it, right? They've got to find a way to win first down. I think if the Packers win, we're going to look at this game and say, man, were they good on first down? They were dominant. They had a great first down game plan. That's the essence of this game.
Radio.com NFL insider Michael Lombardi joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mentioned that the Packers did go out there and they got it handed to them after a bye week, got it handed to them 37-8 back in November. We don't know. I mean, you talk about teams that they've lost to a team before, they've lost to them twice. What's the next matchup going to be like? Do the Packers in any weird way have an edge because they did get walloped the last time? Can they learn from those mistakes? Who does the edge usually go to when the teams have already faced in the same environment before?
Well, I think the edge always goes to the we have no chance card, right? Look, they killed – you know, everybody says we have no chance. We're 7.5-point dogs. Nobody thinks we're any good. We have no respect. We've won 14 games this year. Nobody thinks we're worth a darn. We dominated Seattle. San Francisco struggled Seattle. We still don't get any respect. I think that's a powerful motivating tool.
George Kittle is a tough cover for anybody in the NFL. And he had the big game breaker against the Packers last time, like a 61-yard catch and run. And it just like he felt like he was running forever. Is there anything the Packers can do against him at all? I mean, you just don't neutralize a guy like that. I mean, there's been times when you've seen some of the numbers on him, and he's had two catches for 27 yards in games. But I just don't know if the Packers can neutralize, or at least tame him a little bit.
Well, I mean, if they double him, they can, certainly. But I think with Mike Pettine and his blitz package and the way that they've got to be able to stay balanced to handle the run. I mean, look, the 49ers are really good at running the football. When you looked up last Saturday afternoon, they were in second and three damn near almost every play. Kyle Shanahan really does a good job of understanding how to attack a defense and run the football. If the Packers, it starts with stopping Kittle, but it really starts with winning first down. You've got to force them into third down and make them have to convert a lot of third downs. If the Packers go out there, and let's just put the number at 14 third downs, if they force the 49ers into 14 third downs, they can win the game.
How hard is it going to be for Green Bay to stop their running game, the Niners? They got Raheem Mostert, who's getting a lot of the carries late in the season, and then all of a sudden on Sunday or Saturday, rather, they say, oh, you know what, we're going to go Tevin Coleman. Oh, and you've still got Matt Breida, by the way, as your third running back. Should the Packers, if they're going to try to take away something, should it be the running game or should it be their passing offense with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders and these guys?
Well, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a really smart coach, so he just didn't decide that it was a Tevin Coleman game. The reason he played Tevin Coleman in that game was because he knew Mike Zimmer wanted to play base to his 11 or his 12 personnel. And by having Tevin Coleman in the game, he got himself a running back that could impact the passing game. So everything they do in San Francisco is based on how they can gain an advantage with the back they use. And I think we've missed that when we do the broadcast. I mean, Coleman played, his role was big because Zimmer wanted to play big. Now, if Pettine plays big, expect Coleman. If he plays small, expect the other backs. I think that's going to be the chess match that goes on with inside the game.
Now, if you're San Francisco, you blew out the Packers the first time handily, okay? I already see where Shanahan is saying, hey, don't be stupid and thinking that you know, we're just going to be able to roll at the helmet. Basically said roll at the helmet and win a football game. He's trying to make sure his guys aren't letting up against these guys just because his team beat the Packers the first time around so easily.
Yeah, and he's watched Aaron Rodgers become the old Aaron Rodgers that we knew from many years. I mean, some of those plays he made on third down against Seattle, you know, that was pretty impressive. And I think that was ultimately the difference in the game. I mean, you know, you're 9-for-14 on third down against Seattle. I mean, Pete Carroll punted, and certainly there's debate about why should he have punted. But he's got a 3rd and 10 and a 3rd and 9. He can't stop. What are the percentages of converting those? Usually around 22%. I take those odds. See, people criticize you for not going for it. Well, 4th and 11 is probably a 10% chance. You know, stopping somebody on 3rd and 10 or 9, you probably have a 22% chance. I like his odds. Rodgers was unbelievable. And if that Rodgers and that Packer passing game is there on Sunday, it's going to be a really close game.
Well, 4th and 11, I put this on Twitter. I said, am I glad that Seattle's punting here, because, and you say 10% chance, but You know, you put that ball into the hands of Russell against the Packers, man, I upped those to about like 50% or even more at that point.
But I think he played the right call. He gets him in a 3rd and 10. Now, he doesn't double Adams on the play, right? Rodgers makes a great throw to Adams. He should have, you know, that was a bet. To me, if you want to criticize what they did, criticize the calls on third down. Should have doubled Adams, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got Jimmy Graham. They can't get him on the ground before they've got a punt, right? So to me, he played perfectly. He had two really good plays on third down that Rodgers made and he didn't. If he goes for it on 4th and 11 and the Packers stay aggressive, which I think they would have done, they score and make it a 12-point game. Game's over. It's an onside kick game.
How do you feel about the other game this weekend, the Chiefs and the Titans? Because you got the passing attack of the Chiefs, passing attack, hopefully, of the Packers, running game strong with the Niners, running game very strong with Tennessee. They've already knocked off New England, knocked off Baltimore. Does it end for them this weekend, or can they go into Kansas City and make it a trifecta?
Well, I think, you know, look, I think, and I say this on my podcast, I think Henry's been sensational. But I think, really, when you break down the games, why has Tennessee won? Their short yardage and goal line defense has been nothing less than spectacular. Let's go up to New England. New England's got the ball 1st and goal with the 1. They can't get in, settle for a field goal. Baltimore, 10 for 10 going into the season, going into the playoffs, converting 4th downs, right? 10 for 10. 4th and inches at midfield, can't get it. Next play, touchdown. 4th and less than inches at their own 16, can't get it. 3 plays later, break a tackle, 70-yard run. Those 2 short yardage plays were the difference. And the other factor is they've been dead on in the red zone. They're 3 for 3 in the red zone. Both 2 of them are on 3rd down. The Ravens have no one to blame but themselves. They couldn't stop them on 3rd down, and they couldn't convert 4th down.
It's good insight. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, NFL Insider. Always appreciate it, Michael. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.